Friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA. Now, there is each year an Irish Presidential Distinguished Service Award. And it's given to the Irish abroad, the Irish diaspora. Pretty hard to select, like this year, say, a total of 12 people throughout the world who are worthy of the Irish president's, distinction. But not only do we know two of the dozen, but I think many of you will know too, as I welcome friends with great pride, two of the recipients, Charlotte Moore and Kieran O'Reilly, co-founders indeed of the Irish Repertory Theatre. First of all, congratulations. We are delighted. This is great. It was just fantastic. And it may be a left-hand compliment to say that when we heard it, we couldn't believe it. But that's a very Irish way
of saying it. Neither could we.
And we actually still don't believe it. We think they got the names wrong.
Kieran absolutely says there's been some mistake somewhere.
I think Tony O'Reilly, maybe.
No, it is. It is such a tremendous honor. But I'll tell you, anybody, and so many people who we've met during this crazy week in New York with all the dignitaries and even the president himself being in New York City, anybody we've met said, oh my God, if there's a couple around who deserve this, it's you. So, again, congratulations.
Thank you, Adrian. Thank you. Now, much appreciated.
Now, let me ask you, and what it must be like, maybe for the actors. For instance, we have, Anya and I were privileged, of course, to be at your opening of the Dublin Carol the other night by Conor McPherson. But, for actors, there are many celebrities that go to theater and all the rest of it. But at what point do you say to the actors, by the way, now, you don't get rattled, but when you're looking down when you're looking down at your guests and your audience, it's Michael D. Higgins, and he happens to be the president of Ireland. What is the initial reaction, from the actors?
Adrian, the initial reaction included the whole crowd of people who had come, the audience of that evening, and they weren't advised that anything special was going on. And so when it was announced that the President of Ireland was there, there was a huge gasp in the audience, and everybody in the whole place stood up, including the balcony. I was afraid they were going to fall off the balcony trying to see the President. And I mean, then it was an air of really wonderful congeniality and congratulation and specialness. It made the whole evening so specialist. Well, you know that.
Yeah, and how. But I again want to ask you, both of you being, actors, directors, founders of a theater company, what is it like, again, in your own order? Just bring us back to you, each of you, as an actor, and do you always get the heads up, or, does somebody say, towards the end, you wouldn't believe now who was there in the audience? What is that?
Normally, as a rule, we would shield actors away from who's out there. And most actors don't want to know who's in the audience because it just puts them off their game. But in the case of this particular night with President Michael D. Higgins, we had to, as part of the protocol and etiquette, we had to announce him to, you know, so if we told the actors in advance that was going to happen, so they wouldn't just be standing outside the door about to come in and then suddenly hear, you know, ladies and gentlemen, please upstand for the President of Ireland. And miss, you know, in that case, they may just not have come on at all, you know. So, but normally, you know, you try to keep them, you know, you never tell an actor that there's a critic in the audience, for instance.
Right.
You know, because that's all you'll think about.
You don't even tell an actor that your mother is in the audience. You know, it, as Kieran says, it may put them off their game.
Yeah.
It's a tricky thing.
I know. Anyway, we have seen, you know, over the last three decades, so many tremendous, you know, performances at the Irish Repertory Theatre. And, you know, I don't know, but each time we attend an opening, we come out, and it sounds like a cliche, but we really feel that was the best yet. It's amazing. How do theatre goers and those who have a track warrant for the Irish Repertory Theatre, how do they express, you know, their appreciation of whatever play that might be at that time? Are there those who do a silent kind of a grading 1 to 10, or how do they react, and I'm sure with 30 years experience you're able to kind of catch the mood of your audience.
Well, we have a loyal audience, and they've grown to know that on their way out, as they go out, they can talk to us and tell us what they feel, and they've grown quite a large family has grown up around our productions. And while we value and want all the time, every day, new people, young people, all the time, we do have a loyal following like that.
Yeah, and you know, in the case of some plays, like the current play, you know, depending on how one approaches it, it can have a, you know, a huge impact on the person watching the play, depending on, you know, what their own circumstances were. So last night, I will recount that there was a lady who walked into the lobby, and she was completely shattered by it and was bawling, crying. And I went over to her and said, I'm so glad that we were able to do this for you.
to ruin your day.
Yeah. She had to go and take a little sit down before she went out into the night.
Oh, my God. Well, aren't you lucky that she didn't come over and say, yeah, I tripped on the bottom step?
Yes, we are lucky.
I think existentially she might have tripped on the bottom shelf.
Conor McPherson never ceases to amaze audiences. Just about everything he has touched, you know, has turned out to be so fantastic, marvelous. And I would love to say that, oh my God, we've seen, you know, so many of his plays, again, thanks to the Irish Repertory Theatre, that you could recognize that's Conor McPherson. That doesn't even work, does it? He seems like that each play he writes is as if, you know, there's something unique in himself. He doesn't follow any pattern.
No, he's very much his, you know, he's very instinctual as a writer, you know, and he doesn't tend, he imparts information in a play just sort of on a need to know basis. So he doesn't try to set things up, you know, as a lot of plays do, when you sort of, you know who everybody is, you know the circumstance, and then you see how it all plays out. He's a much more, naturalistic writer, I'd say.
Yeah. And what's his background?
He's a Dublin chap who went to UCD in Dublin and almost immediately began writing plays, and he wrote them and produced them himself, you know, in the early days, like pub theater, and then he wrote a play, and an agent from London came over and seen it and really liked what he saw and thought, this guy has got a lot of talent, and he brought it over to London. He brought his work to some theatres in London that accepted it, particularly the Bush Theatre in London, and they became his champion in his early days, and they produced all of his stuff. And then he wrote a play called The Weir. And the Weir just took off, and it went open at the Royal Court in London, and then made its way to Broadway. And it's and we've had it.
Indeed, yes.
We've had it a couple of times. We were actually involved in the Broadway production. We were, for the only time ever. We spend our lives casting things for people for nothing, by the way. It happens all the time. But in this case, they actually called us up and said, how would you like to be the casting directors for the Broadway production of The Weir? And we just couldn't believe our ears. You mean you're actually going to pay us for what we've been doing? Yeah.
First time, only time.
You mean how much?
Yeah.
You could have gotten spoiled, you know, right then and there.
And Adrian, it's wonderful that he's a contemporary playwright. Not all that very many of those. Martin McDonagh, Conor McPherson, contemporary youngish men who are writing for the Irish stage today. It's a wonderful thing to be involved with them.
Yeah. You know, in categorizing, I'd say nearly all of his stuff, well, one might think, well, you know, these are very dark subjects and whatever. But before you know it, he slithers in just such an intensive insert of humor, and you're saying, Jesus, you know, what just happened here?
That's right, you're laughing.
you're laughing, and I don't know, but that part you could pretty much associate with Conor McPherson, is that, you know, as you're getting into, you know, some very deep, parts of play that you can absolutely relate to. Not just, you don't have to be from Ireland to relate to them. You can do it.
Universal.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now, speaking of that, your audience, and you're talking about, you know, more than 50,000, participants and followers and theater goers in the Irish Rep in the course of a year. Are there times when, maybe not you and Kieran, but the rest of us couldn't be blamed for saying, geez, I wonder how much did these totally non-Irish, without a drop of Irish blood, how much do they get of, the colloquialism, the Irish expressions, the something that we figured that, oh my God, yeah, this is good for us, but what about this poor person sitting over here? Do they have any idea about some of these Irish isms?
Sure. Well, we don't talk down to anybody. We're true to our script. But I tell you, the New York audiences, Irish and otherwise, are so sophisticated. I mean, they get it, and they get the general feeling of it. They get the humor of it. They get the pathos of it. You know, whether you lay it out for them or not, they really listen, and they're really good at it.
Your reviews of your plays, and sometimes we think, well, maybe that's just, you know, maybe the New York Times or, you know, a few of them. But when you have so many, within the theatrical circus, so many critics, so many of those who, and many times you wouldn't even know they're there, what is that? What is the reaction to that? And do you have, you know, a counter there to say, okay, 7 good, 3 not so good, whatever? How do you do that? What is your reaction? Or are there a couple, say, like the New York Times, and say, well, if we have that, to hell with the rest of them?
Well, I mean, it's certainly the New York Times has a, you know, are is huge. The Wall Street Journal is huge.
Oh, God, yes.
You know, Tout, and you know, is another big one. But that, but honestly, we kind of feel slightly that it's getting a little bit more democratic, and that, you know, with the number of different, you know, online reviewers, and yes, there are many, you know, some of them with very large readerships.
Yes.
Like theater Mania and Curtain Up and Talking Broadway, and you know, there's so many of them, and that, you know, ones that we've never even heard of before, and they come, and sometimes they write extraordinarily well written reviews, and, you know, insightful ones,
knowledgeable. Yeah,
I mean, really, yeah. Thought. I mean, there's some of them that are out there, and you hope that it's finding its way into people's. So then it becomes on us to sort of spread that word. You
yeah.
know that if you get these wonderful reviews, we've got to get it out there on social media and you know, on Instagram
yeah.
and Facebook and Twitter,
oh, absolutely.
And everything else. Yeah. And so, but it's great to have that. I mean, because honestly, once upon a time, you had the New York Times and you had the New York Times, and you know, and the one was for the Daily and the other one was for the Sunday. And if you could get, you know, both of those two to agree that you know, this was the best thing since sliced pan,
yeah.
well, then it didn't really matter who else had anything else.
Not that way anymore.
No. And that's and again, social media, they can make you or break you, but. I'm just wondering, like, for somebody, some time out or whatever it might be, a critic who comes in and actually doesn't quite get this Irish play, this whatever, they know it's, they have to know there's something magical here, but they wouldn't be expected, again, to dissect. You know, a lot of the dialogue that are in Irish plays, or is that peculiar to Ireland, or does that have a lot to do with theatre in general?
Well, you know, it's, I mean, when people go and, you know, listen to, you know, go to a Shakespeare play, I mean, they're speaking in Elizabethan dialect, you know, and it's so it takes a little while for it to absorb, you know, what that is, but you do, and I think it's very much so with, you know, when they come to see Irish plays that, you know, that have, you know, native Irish up there, and it may take a little while for their ear to become attuned to the you know, to the dialect, and but they do, and I think they get, you know, they capture everything. I don't think they lose out on
yeah.
things. Sometimes there's laughs that Irish people will laugh at something that an American, you know, member would say, like, what on earth was funny
what
about
did
that?
I miss?
Yeah, I know, but that's you know.
But you have to be true to it. You have to. You can't pull back and
yeah.
try to explain things. You have to be true to the rhythm and the writer and the, you know, the dialect and everything.
So sometimes we do actually explain it in that, in if we really, like during the O'Casey cycle, we had program notes in there for people that might have been confused by certain phrases. You know, I can't remember anything just right now, but we did have pages and pages of stuff in there for people's interest, just to know what that.
They appreciated that,
was. That
too. They said they did. Yeah, it was fun. It was fun and good stuff to do.
Okay, listen, having our as recipients of the 2019 Presidential Distinguished Service Award, I feel it's kind of incumbent upon me to, you know, to not make this one more slap in the back. So I want to ask you questions that I've been asked myself. Now, after, you know, or after 50 years, so who was your favorite interview? What was your favorite, you know, whatever it might be? And an answer to that, and I think the only fair answer I can give that will, you know, not extend this conversation, who's your favorite? I said none of them, you know. So, none of them.
Okay. Is there something are you moving towards somewhere here, Adrian? You know?
But
what I'm getting from you here on this is that you do not and never have enjoyed interviewing us.
Listen, okay. This distinguish there. I'm not going to say one is worse than the other.
Why not? Go on, I dare you.
No.
His brother was worse.
that is so true. Do people associate, Tommy Makem, God rest him, Tommy Makem used to say, what was your best or worst songs? And he says, the worst, Four Green Fields. I can't go on the stage without singing it, but are there, your diversity and, through the decades of presentations, can you afford the luxury of leaning towards, say, musicals or dark or comedy or what? Or do you have to just make those totally separate? Again, Charlotte, I might direct this one at you. You being, an actor, a composer, a musician yourself. Do you have a leaning towards, when you're looking, you're trying to plan ahead in what you're going to show at the Irish Repertory Theatre? You say, I'd like to do, Meet Me in St. Louis again or something.
Well, sure. As you must have known, Adrian, I am partial to doing musicals. I've known such wonderful, wonderful musical people, Hal Prince very well,
yes.
Stephen Sondheim very well, my partner John McMartin very well, and I just love that the musical genre. I think it's joyous, and I love to fill the theater with music and send people out on a high, as I hope I have you and Anya time to time. I think we're probably, it's a good balance because Kieran has his favorites kind of, and I have mine, and we kind of, alternate ideas and fight them out here in the office. You're going to do that, are you? Well, then I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
And it's a fun thing, really has been for all these 30 years.
Well, that's not, I just wanted, for the record, that's not true at all. I tell Charlotte what to do.
Yeah.
And I do it.
And she's very obedient.
If she wants to put you in your spot and in your place, all she's got to do is, sing Bally James. I'll see if I can.
That's right.
Oh, the garden of Eden.
Kieran.
Yes. Now, it is, you don't just wait for one very successful play to reach its close-by date and then say, I wonder what we're going to do next. How much planning is there? And what is required to say, you have a number of, performances, theatrical performances lined up. How much lead time do you need in terms of your decision? Do you have next year's? It doesn't work.
It differs. It differs.
Yeah, we try to stay, one or two shows ahead. If we can, but sometimes we change our minds on that. It takes about, from the time we decide to the time that it's on the stage, it takes about 10 weeks, between rehearsals and casting and designing and all of those things. So that's usually the time frame that
how you get the best actors.
Yeah, you get the best actors by asking them at the last minute, because, that's just the way it is. They don't, because there's there are so many movies and TVs that, shows that they want to do, but so they won't necessarily commit to doing the theater until
until
they know that they've got nothing else to do. Maybe that's true. Maybe that's not true.
In the theatrical business and sometimes both, but at least one of you is generally producing or directing or as artistic director, whatever. What happens, for instance, this year on November 11th in Dublin, in Ireland, in the Auras, when the president will be introducing both of you? Obviously, one of you can't call in sick or anything. You have to be there. So who minds the shop?
Adrian?
What are you doing in that time,
yeah,
Adrian?
It's funny you should bring that up, yeah, because... we are lucky people because we have a full and dedicated staff who do so much work around here. So we're leaving in peace during that.
We won't be gone long, Adrian. Yeah. Only 3 days.
But again...
It's 21st, by the way. It's November 21st.
Was it the 21st?
Yes, you put the heart crossways with me just when you just said that there.
Oh, yeah, okay, because I was just kind of calculating, I know that you were so conscious of, you're getting an offer of a paid job, on Broadway, and I was kind of wondering to myself, when do we talk about the money? But then I assume from what you're saying is that you're covered, so... I should find something else to do? All right.
Not so fast, Adrian. Not so fast.
Hey, Anya. Yeah, nothing in this for us. No, okay. Listen, congratulations. I really and truly, we are, and so are so many of us, that 12, a total of 12 people, the Irish diaspora, being one of 12 selected, for the Presidential Distinguished Service Award has got to be. There isn't much to go higher than that. And you've had most of the rest of them anyway, so you might as well finish off the, we're delighted.
Thank you, Adrian. Thank you very, 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 very much.
And good luck to you.